all of the occupants of an Alaska Seaplanes flight that made an emergency landing near Juneau are unharmed. And a political action committee connected to the Haynesboro Employees Union advocates for a Haynes Assemblyman's recall. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. A plane on its way to Juneau made an emergency water landing this morning. Everyone on board the aircraft swam safely to shore. KHNS spoke with one of the survivors.
Well, there you are. You're sitting there thinking, well, this is it. This is it. Here we go.
Haynes resident Luck Dunbar boarded the Alaska Seaplanes flight around 5:30 a.m. Monday. The plane flew from Haynes to Skagway to pick up three more passengers. Then it headed to Juneau. Dunbar is a commercial fisherman who was on his way to Sitka to get his boat. Once on board the flight, he took a nap. He woke up to what he describes as the engine making an unusual noise. Soon after, he says the plane started to descend early. He asked the pilot what was going on.
Pointed over by Cogland Island and said, I think we're going to layer down over here.
According to the Alaska State Troopers, the pilot was Haynes resident Joshua Poirier. Poirier declared an emergency following an engine failure. That's according to a press release from Seaplanes General Manager Carl Ramseth. The troopers say Poirier made an emergency landing in the ocean, about 150 feet from Cogland Island. Dunbar says after hitting the water, they were able to keep the plane upright.
Josh, the pilot, did an amazing job. He kept the nose up, and we hit the water as slow as that plane could fly, and still keeping the nose up. And by the time the nose hit, we had lost enough momentum where we didn't flip the plane.
Then they exited the aircraft.
I opened the door without a problem, opened it up wide, reached down to unbuckle, and I had water going up my arm pretty quick, and got unbuckled. And I look back, everybody's scrambling, doing their thing to get out of the plane. The back door opened. The pilot opened his door. I opened my door. Everybody scrambled, got out of the plane.
All four passengers and Poirier swam to shore.
We swam and swam and swam. I'm not going to lie, by the time I got to the beach, I was pretty exhausted. I had too many layers on, and I was feeling pretty heavy, and I was feeling pretty blessed to just relax and have my feet touch the sand of the beach of Cogland Island.
According to the troopers, an Alaska Seaplanes aircraft equipped with floats responded to the scene and retrieved the four passengers. Poirier stayed on the beach and was later picked up by coastal helicopters. All of the passengers and the pilot were assessed by Capital City Fire Rescue and were released with no injuries. Troopers say the plane that went down was a Cessna T207 on wheels. Its last airworthiness certificate was issued by the FAA in September of 2015. It's set to expire in about a year. The National Transportation Safety Board and Alaska Seaplanes are working together to determine the cause of the accident. Ramseth commended Poirier's actions in the incident. Dunbar thanked the airline and credits Poirier with the success of the rescue.
He did an amazing job. He instructed us on exactly what to do at the proper time and we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Josh.
Alaska Seaplanes is based in Juneau and operates daily flights to communities in southeast Alaska. Seaplanes gained a monopoly on its market after competitor Wings of Alaska shut down in March. Dunbar says this incident has not deterred him from flying.
I'll be flying happily for the rest of my life, knowing that that can't happen twice, right?
In fact, he got on another Seaplanes flight to finish his trip to Sitka the same day. On Tuesday, three Haynes Assembly members are up for recall. Less than 2 weeks before the election, the Political Action Committee connected to the Haynesboro Employees Union took the unusual step of getting involved. Union leaders say Tom Morfitt should lose his seat. But their reason is not one of the official grounds cited on the ballot. KHNS's Emily Files has more.
In April, Assemblyman Morfitt publicly released three critical accounts of citizen interactions with police. Soon after, the Local 71 union filed a grievance with the borough, saying Morfitt violated the police officer's contract and code by releasing documents considered personnel matters. The union asked for Morfitt to apologize and the assembly to formally reprimand or censure him. Those two things happened. On July 12th, Juneau-based union representative Tom Bryce emailed borough manager Deborah Schnabel, saying the union considers the issue closed and the grievance resolved. Here's Bryce.
We thought that the issue would have been put to rest at that point in time. But it seems that Mr. Morfitt still was having a hard time grasping the consequences of the actions he had taken.
Bryce says the union leadership had concerns after learning of Morfitt's conduct at the assembly meeting where he was censured. Morfitt made the motion for his own censure and was cut off by Mayor Jan Hill.
I make a motion that we censure Assemblymember Tom Morfitt.
It's not appropriate at all.
Bryce says Morfitt's behavior is unrepentant, and that's what motivated the Supporting League of the Local 71 to get involved. The Supporting League is the political action committee connected to the union.
When public officials are dismissive of employees and their needs and rights, we use our First Amendment rights of political speech.
Bryce says he initiated the PAC's involvement in the recall election. He says the PAC's recall efforts are separate from the grievance, which was resolved. The PAC's lobbying is also unrelated to the official grounds listed on the recall ballot.
The Supporting League of Public Employees Local 71 has engaged in the recall effort, not as it relates to the issues that were on the ballot, but to refresh people's minds and hands of the issue that came about with Assemblyman Morfitt's attack on the police department.
There are two official recall allegations against Morfitt. He is accused of coercion after denouncing Police Chief Heath Scott's decision to stop releasing the police blotter and of violating the Alaska Open Meetings Act.
It's unprecedented for a Juneau-based union to get involved in a Haynesboro election.
That's Morfitt speaking at a recent public forum. He said the reason he brought the police complaints to light is because he thinks the borough lacks public accountability when a citizen lodges a complaint against the police.
If I have to choose between honoring a contract and honoring my obligation to the safety and welfare of the Haynes citizenry, you know, I might choose the latter.
According to disclosure forms, the union PAC has spent $1,000 in the Haynes recall election. The money went to a Facebook advertisement advocating for Morfitt's recall. In Haynes, I'm Emily Files.
A Skagway resident who was sentenced to a year in prison on federal tax charges has filed to run for borough assembly. Dan Henry resigned from the assembly last fall in order to report to federal prison. Henry was convicted of willful failure to file income taxes. Now, he's back in Skagway and running for election again. Henry is the only assembly candidate to file by Monday's 5 p.m. deadline. There are two assembly seats opening this October. They're currently held by appointees Spencer Morgan and Monica Carlson. Mark Schaefer is running for re-election as mayor. He's currently unopposed. Schaefer is finishing up his second two-year term as mayor. The only competitive race so far is the one for school board. Four residents are running for two open seats. Kara Cosgrove put in a bid to retain her position. Cesare Doxy Leopold, Heather Rodig, and Denise Sager also threw their names in the running. There is still time for residents interested in running as write-ins. The deadline is September 29th, just a few days before the October 3rd election. Haynes candidate filing closes next Monday. For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins.
The following is a listener commentary and does not necessarily reflect the viewpoint of Lynn Cannell Broadcasting, the Board of Directors, or staff.
This is Carol Tyneman. A representative democracy is a precious thing, but it is not a perfect system. 49% of voters may have to live a few years with elected leaders for whom they did not vote. Democracy is imperfect, but better than the alternatives. The privilege to recall elected leaders is also important, but must be used responsibly. Recalls may be necessary if officials embezzle funds or manipulate decisions for personal gain, A recall should not be used to change the results of a regular election or be based on frivolous allegations. I do not think the actions or decisions by Assembly members Tom Morfitt, Heather Lundy, or Tresham Gregg were legitimate causes for a recall election. There's been no gross misconduct and no laws were broken. I do not think the police chief was coerced by Tom or Heather or by their suggestions that he continue providing information for the police blotter. It's public information and the newspaper prints it for free. No financial benefit, no conflict of interest. I do not think Tresham's email to the Assembly members violated the Open Meetings Act. There was no simultaneous discussion of borough business by a majority of the Assembly. It's difficult enough to find people willing to run for public office. The negativity and anger behind the recall further stifles the willingness of people to serve. Some of the scars from the past recalls in Haines linger and call on us to work together to heal them. To recall Tom, Heather, and Tresham based on, in my view, false allegations is unethical and would do a great disservice to our entire community. It's important to take a stand against the abuse of the election process by voting no on this recall Tuesday, August 15th. The polls are open 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. at A&B A&S Hall on 1st and Willard and Mosquito Lake Fire Hall. This is Carol Tideman.
The preceding remarks are the personal view of the commentators and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoint of Lincoln L Broadcasting, the board of directors, or staff. KHNS welcomes the submission of responsible commentaries by our listeners. Please come by the studio, call us at 983-2853 or 766-2020, or go online for a copy of the commentary guidelines at khns.org under listener submissions.